Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me the title of this morning's sermon? The Only Two Religions. Based on the verses of our Old Testament reading, Reuben read for us, listened again from Genesis 15. And the Lord brought Abram outside and said, "Look toward the heavens and number the stars if you're able to number them." Then he said to them, "So shall your offspring be." And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted it to him as righteousness. I invite you to open up your worship folder, find the sermon outline, and follow that outline as we consider our theme, The Only Two Religions. Well, many of you have probably seen the famous TV contestant game show I alluded to with the children's message. The hosts ask the participants to choose between two doors or two curtains. Behind one door is a wonderful prize. Behind the other door is usually something quite awful. This game may well be based on the ancient legend entitled The Lady and the Tiger. The legend is about an ancient outdoor competition. A man is placed in an arena filled with spectators. They await his upcoming choice. The choice that he makes, either he gets great riches or a horrible death. Because on the arena floor are two big doors, and behind one is a beautiful woman in a door filled with riches. Behind the other door is a man-eating tiger and certain death. There are only two choices, only two doors, and everything depends on which door he chooses. Martin Luther once said, and here's where we get our sermon title, that when you boil it all down and study every religion there is in the world, there are only, finally, two religions. Two doors. The religions are these: good works or faith. And as was true with the lady and the tiger legend, one door means life and one door means death. Today we'll examine the religion of good works and the religion of faith and see where these doors lead us. Door number one, the righteousness of man, good works. What does the world around us consider righteous? Oh, things like fighting for a just cause, showing care for other people, being a good person. And here's probably the opinion of 90% of the people that you would ask today, if you died, how would you get to heaven? And if you think we're just pointing fingers at unbelievers outside the church, when this study was done in the Lutheran church some years ago, 40% of the people have the wrong answer. 4 out of 10. You ask a normal person, if you hope to go to heaven when you die, how will you get there? And the answer is, by being good, by doing good works. As popular as this teaching is, it's not the teaching of God's Word in Holy Scripture. This kind of view leads to false beliefs. Let's just talk about two quickly today. They're on your outline. The first false belief is this: we deserve special treatment from God. That is, if I do good, I deserve a reward. Now, I've shared a story about this reality in an earlier sermon. Today, I'm going to give you the brief Reader's Digest version. A man came to me when I was a pastor in the greater Seattle area in the mid-1980s. He said he was planning to take his own life. When I asked why, he basically said that he had been taught if he had enough faith and did enough good deeds, God would bless him. So he tried hard, so very hard. But unfortunately, he had made his faith into a good work, something he had to do to get reward from God. In 1 month's time, this man lost his farm to the bank. His wife ran off with another man, and their little daughter was diagnosed with a serious disease. And so his false belief drove him to despair. If good deeds earn God's rewards, and he had tried so hard, and he was suffering these tragedies, how could he ever do enough? What hope could he have? The truth is, none of us earn or deserve special treatment from God on the basis of our good deeds, our homemade righteousness. This false belief leads nowhere but to heartbreak. But there's a second false belief that comes from this idea, this door number one, the good works religion. This false belief is this: we can get right with God by our good deeds. That is, we earn entry into heaven on the basis of our good works. Jesus himself dismissed this falsehood when he said to some Pharisees in Matthew 5, verse 48, "Okay, then you must be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." He said to these men who were convinced of their own righteousness based on good works, "Okay, you want to get right with God on the basis of your good deeds? Okay, then your test score must be 100%. Be perfect as God is perfect." Whoops. And then there's that graphic passage from Isaiah 64, verse 6. Listen to what Isaiah says. "All our righteousness is like filthy rags." Isaiah tells us that our homemade righteousness stinks. The holy and almighty God is offended by our pride, which tells us we can bribe him or buy him off by our paltry good works. Isaiah tells us that trying to get right with God on the basis of door number one, works righteousness, won't work. Door number one, the righteousness of man, opens up a whole series of tough questions. Questions like, how can I ever be sure I'm good enough? How can I ever be sure my good deeds are the right ones? Door number one leads us to a dead-end street. Proverbs 14:12 speaks something of this when it says, "There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end of that way is death." Remember the lady in the tiger legend? Door number one, dependence on good works, is the tiger. But now let's see door number two, the righteousness of God that comes through humble faith. This door is what the Old Testament reading for today from Genesis 15 is all about. Listen to verse 6. "And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted it to him as righteousness." Almighty God had promised 100-year-old Abram that he would be a father, have many descendants, and from him would come the nation of Israel, and finally the promised Messiah, the Christ. And God creates faith in Abram's heart by the event described in our Old Testament reading for today. Listen again. "And the Lord brought Abram outside and said, 'Look to the heavens and number the stars if you're able to number them.' Then he said to him, 'So shall your offspring be.' And the text says, Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord counted it to him as righteousness." God's word of promise creates faith in Abram's heart, and Abram simply trusts God to keep his promise. And on the basis of faith's object, listen to that phrase again, on the basis of faith's object, God's promise, Abram is counted righteous. That is, it's not Abram's faith that makes him righteous. It was what Abraham's faith is in. Abraham's faith is not in his own good deeds, not in his strength of character, not in his own unwavering trust. Abraham's faith is a humble dependence on God's word of promise. And trusting God, Abraham is declared to be righteous by God, to be right with him. Righteousness is God's act, not man's act. Righteousness is given apart from good works. This is precisely what St. Paul says in Romans chapter 4. Listen to these words. Paul writes, "What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, discovered in this matter? If in fact Abraham was justified by his works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness." Righteousness, justification, is based on God's gift and received humbly by faith. And this is precisely what St. Paul says also in Ephesians chapter 2. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. Not from yourselves, it's a gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast." Now, what was it that Abraham believed? What was his faith? He believed that God would keep his word, that God would provide him with a son in his old age, and the son that was born was named Isaac. Have you ever heard the name Isaac in our congregation? Have you ever seen a clown whose persona is called Isaac? When I put my grease paint on, he turned into Isaac. The name Isaac means laughter. Oh, how 100-year-old Abram and 90-year-old Sarah must have laughed, especially Sarah, when God said, "You're going to have a baby." And God got the last laugh, and they named their boy Isaac. But Isaac was not the only son of the promise. Amazingly, some 2,000 years before the event, Abraham believed that God would send another son, his son, the Savior. Listen to Jesus' own words from John chapter 8 as he spoke to the religious leaders of his day. Jesus says, "Your forefather Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it, and he was glad." But now comes the most important question of the sermon. Perhaps through the sermon you've been nodding polite agreement, or maybe just nodding off, whatever the case might be. But now comes the important question for the sermon. How can you be righteous? How can a sinner like you and me get right with a holy and almighty and perfect God? Will it be door number one? Or door number two? Will it be the door of good works or the door of faith? Just like Abraham, you were made right with God by trusting faith, by a humble trust in God's powerful word of promise. Again, Genesis 15, verse 6, "And Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord counted it to him as righteousness." Today, God is calling you to trust his word of promise. He is calling to you to have as your faith's object his promise to you in Jesus. This Jesus who lived a sinless, perfect life for you. This Jesus who offered himself on Calvary's cross as a payment for your sins. This Jesus who rose from death victorious over sin, death, and the devil. And all that he did for you. God's promise to you in Jesus has been kept. And today he calls you to lay aside your trust in your paltry good works and to fully trust in what Jesus Christ has done for you. Referring to Abram once again and applying Abram's faith to our life, listen to what St. Paul says in Romans chapter 4. "This is why it was counted to Abram as righteousness. The words 'it was counted to him' were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will count righteousness. For we who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, he was delivered over to death for our sins, raised to life for our justification." Again, righteousness depends on what God does for us, not what we do for ourselves. When I was just a little boy, that's been a few years ago, I'd go for a walk with my father in the cow pastures of our dairy farm in Green Acres, Washington, just east of Spokane. Sometimes I had trouble keeping up as we walked in the cow pasture. Other times I would stumble and fall as we walked through the uneven field. I tried to hold on to my papa's hand, but it was just too big. The best I could do was try to hold on to his calloused little finger. Even then, I couldn't get a good grip, and sometimes down I would go. And one day, after a face-forward plant and a freshly laid cow pie, you'll never forget that, my dad laughed and laughed, and he said, "Son, I think that if I held your hand, you wouldn't fall." And later, as his strong, calloused dairy farmer's hand was grasping onto me, to mine, I did just fine. My friends, it all depends on who is holding your hand. Being right with God does not depend on your good works, your strong faith, your grasp on God's little finger. No, that's door number one, the righteousness of man, the religion of works. Being right with God is all about His promise to you, His blood-bought promise to you, His grip on us, His nail-pierced hands holding on to us. Yes, that's door number two, the righteousness of God, the religion of trusting faith. Like Abraham, we are made righteous with God by God's grace through faith. This is the only door for us to walk through, now and unto life everlasting. In the name of Jesus, amen.